Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I'll tell you what, we got a nice way to start the week. I know the election is like 8 days away. I know everybody wants to sound off. Everybody wants to call into the show. We're going to give you the opportunity to do just that here in about 20 minutes or so, 15, 20 minutes or so. But we've got a great opportunity here to kick off your week. The crew from the USS Billings, the U.S. Navy's USS Billings Littoral Combat Ship is in the city of Billings, Montana, that they are named after. We've got the commander and the command senior chief in the house with us here. Gentlemen, great to see both of you, and thanks so much for coming to see us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yes, sir. Pleasure.
Yeah.
Pleasure.
Commander, maybe we'll start with you. Commander Frank Lamine,
yes, sir.
The commander of the USS Billings. First trip to Billings, Montana.
Yes, sir.
When did you pull in?
Last night. Got here yesterday afternoon. I got a chance to see the beautiful skyline and the mountains right away. So scenic and awesome. My name's Commander Frank Lamine. I'm from Belle Glade, Florida. I'm the executive officer on the ship, so I'm the second in command right now. God willing, I'll be the commanding officer in May. That'll be the change of command, May, third week of May. But we're excited. We're happy to be here. Happy to be representing the Billings namesake on our ship. And we're happy to come to Billings to actually visit it and talk to some Billings folks.
It is kind of funny. Those of us that didn't serve in the Navy, we hear the rank commander. We just assume you're the commander as well. But yeah, the XO of the ship. But is the XO of the ship kind of like an XO in an Army unit where really it's the XO who really has to run the day-to-day stuff? You got almost the harder job, whereas the commander, yeah, you're responsible for making the decisions, but the XO is really the one running the ship.
Yes, sir. I'd like to say I am on the ground. I am grounded and pounding for the ship as a whole. But yes, sir, the day to day, everything from the planning, daily planning of the ship, to execution, everything kind of I run pretty much all of that. Making the captain look good is what it is.
There you go. But of course, the backbone of the military is the non-commissioned officers and the enlisted folks. And so it's a pleasure to have the command senior chief, Anthony Ferretti, of the command senior chief of the USS Billings here as well. Senior, is that how we'd call you? Or do they call you command senior chief once you're in the command senior chief of a ship?
My rate changes to command senior chief, but I go by senior all the same.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you here. What's it like being the command senior chief for a ship like this?
It's a pretty big change from being in my source rate as a fire controlman. Right now I'm in charge of everyone, and I work for all of them now.
That's right. You've got, I mean, really, you're the boss, but in reality, it's your job to take care of them. You say you work for them. I thought that was a great way that you summed it up right there. You work for them, the men
Absolutely.
And the women that are on this ship. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. By the way, for those of you that are in Billings, October 30th, 5 to 7 p.m., they're going to have, it sounds like, a meet and greet where you can meet the crew of the USS Billings. So that'll be October 30th, 5 to 7 p.m. More details, go to friendsofTheUSSBillings.org, and we'll be back right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. 10 crew members of the USS Billings are going to be in Billings, Montana for the next few days. And I mentioned, go to friendsofTheUSSBillings.org for more details. They're going to have a meet and greet October 30th, 5 to 7 p.m. And you'll probably see them cruising around the streets in their dress uniforms here as well. Command Senior Chief Anthony Ferretti, talk about what the USS Billings has been up to. I had the honor of going to their commissioning ceremony in Key West, Florida, but you guys are cruising all over the Caribbean doing incredible counter-narcotics work and so much more, it sounds like.
Yes, sir. So the 2 years ago, they had their last deployment. I was not a part of that one, but the crew operated excellently down south, down there in 4th Fleet. And since then, we've been going through technological upgrades and propulsion upgrades. Our engineering plan is being upgraded, you know, fire control systems, weapon systems, all those kinds of things. All going through your typical upgrades, right? Take your car into the shop. Our car's a little bit bigger than yours, so it takes a little bit extra time. And then hopefully early 2025, you know, we're going to start to get back to operational status again, get training, get the crew trained up, get the ship trained up, and then we'll be out there, you know, doing God's work on the high seas again.
Commander Lamine, how do you describe the USS Billings? What stood out to me was obviously the guns on the ship. I love the helipad in the back. You know, they even kind of described it where you could have like a SEAL team almost, you know, camping out overnight on the LCS, and then they got a helipad on the back of it. I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do with this type of a vessel.
Yes, sir. I like to call it the 400 feet of lethality. So, some folks call it, they say plug and play for mission sets. I call it plug and fight. We can pretty much put anything on board that thing and go do a number of missions, especially in littorals, shallow draft ship. She can get it into places that a lot of ships can't get into to do everything from humanitarian work to launching missiles to just whatever the nation calls. So it's a special kind of ship specifically because of that, because it's not a one mission set, one mindset ship. You can do all kinds of stuff with the lethal combat ships.
It was so cool. Not this past summer, but the summer prior. In fact, I wore my Yellowstone International Air Show ball
Love
cap
it,
today
yeah.
with the Navy colors, knowing that you gentlemen were going to be here with us. It was so cool, though. They had a reception with the Blue Angels and their support team and everything. And seeing the USS Billings crew in the house in their dress whites for that reception, it was like something out of a movie. But what was so cool about that air show wasn't just, you know, the show that we got to see in the sky, but this was a way for people here in Montana to get to a front row seat to our incredible American military and our service members, and having the USS Billings there was such a key part of that as well. I know, but both of you are fairly new to the vessel, so you missed the air show. Well, it sounds like we'll have to do another air show and then have you guys come back for it. So.
That's it. I'm game for it.
Yes, sir. That's the beautiful thing about the versatility of the United States military. You got a chance to experience some of the air portion, and from our standpoint, we're bringing the surface portion, so we can bring the fight to the enemy in many different ways, so that's pretty awesome.
Senior Chief, it seems like, I know there were questions, well, what's the role of the LCS for the future of the U.S. Navy? But from what I've been reading, it sounds like there's an even greater need and role for a ship like this, especially given what all is going on in the Pacific right now.
Right. So, you know, the Navy is going to continue to take a look at all sorts of different, you know, wartime strategies, and they're always going to be changing. And that's the great thing that, you know, Commander Lamine was just talking about, is there's so many different capabilities of these LCSs that we can really go anywhere and pretty much do anything to support the Navy's overall strategic mission.
And Commander Lamine, what does it mean to you to get a chance to come meet folks back here in Billings, Montana? And I know you just got on the ground last night, but any crew from Montana that you guys know of that are on the ship right now? I know every now and then we'll find a sailor or two from Montana.
I think not on the ship, but for our squadron command, they have a new chaplain on board who's actually from Montana, who I was trying to bring on board, but he's got some other things to handle. But in line with what Command Senior was saying, you know, the CNO, and answered your question earlier, the CNO her goal is to keep as many players on the field as possible. So that's the strategy. And keeping LCSs is no better platform to be able to send LCSs out there and do missions that, you know, that may be unorthodox, that may not be in the realm of the normal. So that's kind of what we're here for. I know there's a conjecture and rumor and discussions about the LCS or the Billings being decommissioned. Maybe some of that's true, maybe not. But I tell you right now, based on what the CNO is saying, with more players on the field, we are not decommissioning. By the way, I'm scheduled to take over the ship in May as the commanding officer. So if we did decommission, that means I'd be out of a job. So because of that, I think we will be around for quite some time. we'll continue to do the mission.
Well, that's good, because we want to keep you on the playing field as well. We got to have that quarterback in the game. And and you look at what's going on in the world right now. It's not like the world is like, oh, there's no threats. Everything's fine. No problems here. Yeah. That whole idea about we got to keep all the players on the field. Boy, do we ever. Command Senior Chief, any thoughts, any final thoughts from you for folks all across Montana?
No, hey, we really enjoy, coming out here for our namesake visit and, like you said, getting to see everyone. It's new for us, so we look for your guys' expertise and hanging out in town and being able to talk amongst the Billings folks here.
All right, Commander, any final thoughts from you?
Yes, sir. A huge, huge thank you. Huge thank you to the city of Billings. Huge thank you to the Billings namesake team. Really appreciate the opportunity to come out here and say hello to everybody and kind of show you kind of what we bring to the table and what we do for the country.
Well, I know a lot of folks are looking forward to meeting you two gentlemen and the rest of your crew here in the coming days. And, yeah, if you want to support the USS Billings, that Friends of the USS Billings crew does a bunch to provide morale support to the whole ship and their crew. And especially you Navy veterans out there, you get a chance to come find out what's happening in today's Navy. All right, quick break. Phone lines are open for you right after this.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you if you got something you want to talk about or if you just want to jump in on the conversation. You can call in right now, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. We've got a listener in Nashua, Montana, that just sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. In fact, that is exactly one of the stories I was going to bring up. But, let's start right there. Did you guys see this Facebook post by the Roosevelt County Sheriff? Roosevelt County Sheriff Jason Frederick, of course, Northeast Montana, heart of the Fort Peck Reservation. He's now speaking out. But he's not the only Montana sheriff who is speaking out. The Park County Sheriff, Brad Bickler, also speaking out about campaign advertisements from Democrat Senator John Tester. So John Tester, his campaign, sent out a campaign advertisement where he is claiming that he provided boosting funding for Montana law enforcement. He's claiming that he secured $1.8 million for Roosevelt County law enforcement. There's just one big problem. The Roosevelt County Sheriff says they've never seen this money. So what is John Tester talking about here? The bottom line is that basically, here is Democrat Senator John Tester, who has already faced criticism from tribal leaders for failing to provide federal law enforcement support on reservations here in Montana. Now, John Tester's campaign is being called out for failing to fund law enforcement by at least two Montana sheriffs. The Roosevelt County Sheriff took to Facebook in a post that has already been shared over 100 times last time I checked. He says he contacted Tester's campaign and asked them where this supposed funding for law enforcement is at. He wrote, quote, "Nobody knows anything about this $1.8 million. Our citizens in Roosevelt County are suffering in every way because of drugs," he wrote. Now, for those of you that might recall, a tribal leader from the Fort Peck Reservation testified earlier this year about how the Mexican drug cartels are targeting Native American communities with meth and fentanyl due to the wide-open southern border. He also told the U.S. House of Representatives how the drug cartels are deliberately targeting Native American women. And then back in August, you might recall, The Hill had a report featuring a Fort Belknap tribal leader who called out Tester over the lack of federal law enforcement on reservations. All Tester did he said, was write a letter. Jeff Stiffarm, the president of the Assiniboine and Gros Ventre Nations of the Fort Belknap Indian community, responded saying, quote, it's an election year. He's running for re-election. He needs votes. But it should have been done years ago. Now, so now you've got, so you've previously had tribal leaders call out Tester for failing to provide federal law enforcement on our reservations. Now a sheriff representing Roosevelt County, which is in the heart of the Fort Peck Reservation, is saying that basically John Tester is claiming he delivered $1.8 million in funds for Roosevelt County, and they never got it. They haven't seen it. Park County Sheriff Brad Bickler also called out Tester for lying in his campaign ads, saying, adding, quote, in all of the years I have been sheriff, Senator Tester has never reached out to me or my office to show support for us in any way. Here's the full message of what Roosevelt County Sheriff Jason Frederick shared via Facebook. And by the way, this was at least 2 or 3 days ago when he shared this message on Facebook. How come, is there a big story in the Lee newspapers? Did the Great Falls Tribune report on this? Did the Billings Gazette report on this? Did the nonstop local TV stations report on this? Did the Montana Television Network report on this? If any of them have reported on this, please send me a link. Because, frankly, I haven't seen anything. And I tried to scan a whole bunch of different news sources. But I guess we'll just have to report what they refuse to report. But here's what the Roosevelt County Sheriff said. He says, I am not supporting either candidate, but as your sheriff, I must inform you this recent campaign ad for John Tester is false and misleading. I have reached out to his office with no response. My question is, where is this $1.8 million in funding for Roosevelt County law enforcement? I have reached out to the commissioners, to the Wolf Point mayor, and the tribal chief of police. Nobody knows anything about this $1.8 million. Our citizens in Roosevelt County are suffering in every way because of drugs. I know $1.8 million would sure help us with many issues here in Roosevelt County. Now, before I get to what Park County Sheriff Brad Bickler had to say, let's just focus on Roosevelt County here a little bit more. So what you're telling us is this. John Tester has been in lockstep with Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and their open borders policies since day one of this administration. He's had the power to stop them. Instead, he has voted with them every single time that it matters. So his open borders are the reasons the drug cartels were able to come into Montana and target Native American women in particular. So his border policies are causing the problem to begin with, a big part of causing the problem to begin with. But now he's lying in his campaign ads and claiming that he delivered funding for law enforcement to deal with the problem he helped create. And they're saying they never got the money. Wow. And here's the thing is, even if he did deliver the money, even if he did say, well, here's some money to deal with all the crime you're experiencing, it's like John Tester should still be held accountable for the open border crisis he helped create. But he didn't even deliver the funding for law enforcement. Here's what Park County Sheriff Brad Bickler had to say as well. Quote, we have all been bombarded with political ads this election season, and I usually try to ignore most of them. With that being said, I cannot let this one go. This ad put out by Senator Tester's campaign is very misleading. In all of the years I have been sheriff, Senator Tester has never reached out to me or my office to show support for us in any way. Furthermore, any funding that has been procured for the sheriff's office has come from the hard work of our grant writer. Poaching a photo of one of the sheriff's office vehicles and running a misleading ad is not something I can leave unaddressed. And then Park County Sheriff Brad Bickler added this. This is one reason that I and many other local law enforcement professionals in Montana will be supporting Tim Sheehy this election cycle. And you can see both of their Facebook posts for yourselves at MontanaTalks.com, so you can read it in their own words. 406-294-0970 is the number for you, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well if you want to jump in on the conversation. The other big story in the U.S. Senate race here, how many of you guys have seen the campaign commercial featuring the guy with the ponytail attacking Tim Sheehy? Have you seen the guy with the ponytail in the campaign commercial? I usually don't watch much TV, but I watched a couple of streaming shows over the weekend, so I finally see some of these TV commercials that some of you guys will tell me about. And I see this guy with the ponytail attacking Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. Well, there was a big expose that was done on that guy. That's right. The guy with the ponytail is that guy. This guy didn't even serve in the same unit as Tim Sheehy in Afghanistan. This guy has already been busted deleting old social media posts where he is not only bashing Tim Sheehy, but he's bashing any Republican Navy SEAL, like even like Dan Crenshaw down in Texas. Well, that guy, the guy with the ponytail that's also trashing Tim Sheehy in this commercial, has given money to Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Barack Obama, and to Chuck Schumer's Political Action Committee. So that is the guy that John Tester is trotting out with less than 2 weeks to go before the election in a desperate Hail Mary attempt to try to attack Tim Sheehy for his service record. And oh, by the way, you can see that full expose also at MontanaTalks.com. All right, into the phone lines we go, 406-294-0970. Frank in Evergreen, first up this morning. Frank, what's going on? What's on your mind?
Hi, Aaron. Jay, do you recall, it was a few years back, and it was a long-running battle, McDonald's Corporation against a small rural restaurant in Scotland by the name of McDonald's. Well, the McDonald's Corporation lost the lawsuit. They want to prevent this person from using this McDonald's as their name, but they have been running this restaurant for hundreds of years. And but they did lose in the court system in England, and the main reason was this guy was also the head of the McDonald's clan, and it was a better hamburger, but...
I think you called in about that a couple of weeks ago, I think. So what's the point? What's the point of the story?
Well, the point is, you can't find any reference to it in Wikipedia or Google. It's like it's something like nothing in history. It's something that we're supposed to forget. You know, it's just we don't need books anymore. We got Google to erase our memories.
Well, that's why a lot of people want to get hard copy books, because of the way things can so easily be manipulated these days. And Wikipedia is one of the, I use Wikipedia. Sometimes you can use it as a lead for information, but the way, it can be just as biased of a source as some of the other outfits out there. That's for sure. All right, Frank, thanks for the call. Quick break. We've got the phone lines open for you, and now's your chance to call during this quick break.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Corn farmers may face their toughest year in nearly two decades with crop prices at an unprofitably low level, according to the Federal Reserve. Despite strong gains in the livestock sector, crop prices, particularly for corn and soybeans, have dropped significantly due to global oversupply and high input costs. Corn prices fell to below $4 per bushel recently, down from over $7 in recent years, while soybeans dropped from $13 to $10. Although USDA revised its 2024 farm income decline to just 4% compared to a projected 26%, the crop sector remains weak amid droughts and hurricane damage. Farmer sentiment nationwide has plummeted, with many concerned about market and trade conditions. However, some farmers have sustained themselves by building liquidity from previous strong income years, and the 2025 futures market hints at more stable crop prices and incomes ahead. And this past Friday at the public auction yards, Billings, Montana, over 3,300 head of cattle sold. Feeder calves under 450 pounds showed stronger prices. Heavier steers were steady. The 5 to 5.5 weight steers priced at 297 to 321. 5.5 to 6 weights, 241 to 259. While heifers weighing 5.5 to 600 pounds, $2.50 to $2.67. I'm Lane Northlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's get into the phone lines here. 406-294-0970. Robert in Helena next up, listening to KCAP. Robert, what's going on? Thanks for the call.
Oh, just out going to get a load of wood today. I just wanted to remind the people of Montana that there's another rich out-of-stater that's running for the Senate seat here in Montana, and his name's John Tester. He's been in Washington for almost 20 years, and that's where he's made all his money. So just something to think about.
That's a good point. I mean, he's worth millions now. How do you somehow leave your day job and then make more money as a so-called public servant?
Well, that's what I'm wondering, and that's what I think a lot of Montanans should be wondering also. I mean, we had, from what I've read, he was worth about $650,000 when he went to Washington, and he's worth $10 to $12 million now, so farming must be pretty good.
Even if it's half that, it still raises questions, right? And then he's got that.
Sure.
He's got that house, over $1 million row house on Capitol Hill that's been described as a castle, something like that. So, I mean, he's been living high on the hog, and that's the problem is that, you know, Montanans are suffering with inflation and high prices, and then they see John Tester. Yeah, I don't know if you heard it last week. Paul Mushaven popped into our studios. He's on the country station down the hall from us, and he pulled out the Yellowstone County News report that showed John Tester spent $60,000 at the Bistro Cacao in D.C. in just the last year alone.
Yeah, heck of a way to live when you're supposed to be serving the people of Montana who are suffering.
Yeah, well said. All right, Robert, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970. Who do we got next up? Let's go to, is it Tony in Billings? Are you in Billings, Tony? Tony, thanks for the call.
Aaron, this is Tony Hudson. I'm actually in Stevensville, Montana. I'm headed to Billings. We're going to be putting on a last Tim Sheehy rally, the Save America rally in Billings tomorrow afternoon. There's a website to go to RSVP. We're trying to keep some of the rabble rousers of Tester's crew out, so it's necessary to RSVP to get the location and ticket. But I can share that with you, or it's available other places at Tim Sheehy's website.
Yeah, but, I saw that. Wyoming Senator John Barrasso is going to be there alongside with him. It shows which team he's going to be a part of in Washington versus compared to, you know, John Tester, Chuck Schumer, Elizabeth Warren and crew.
No, it's a really amazing thing. To have the senators come to Montana, you know, we've had several here. Also, Jim Brown will be at this event. Dan Wilson will be there, and I'm sure there'll be other people engaged in it. But I just really, really need everybody to really engage and follow through. I know everybody's tired of events and tired of the campaign. But, you know, John Tester got elected 18 years ago by lying about one of the best senators Montana's ever had, and he just continues to do the same thing. And I'm hoping that this time, you know, people see through it and we can call him out. And send John Tester home. I think he'll be eternally grateful. I think the man is compromised so badly, he doesn't know where he's at in his life anymore. I don't think he ever intended to be owned like he is, and it's kind of sad. But I think the Montana voters, if we send him home, that's what he needs to do. That's what we need to do for the state of Montana.
All right, Tony, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Thanks for what you do. And, yeah, look forward to seeing you because I want to go hear what Senator Barrasso has to say as well, especially coming from Wyoming and Montana. We got a lot of shared concerns, of course, in these Rocky Mountain states. You know, it's funny. So John Tester will openly admit that the reason he isn't publicly endorsing Kamala Harris, even though he privately supports Kamala Harris, the reason he won't publicly do it is because he's running for re-election. He doesn't want you to know whose team he's on. Whereas, like, Tim Sheehy say, yeah, this is the team that I'm going to be a part of. Tom Cotton, Joni Ernst, fellow veterans, John Barrasso. Ronnie Jackson, by the way, I didn't go to the event in Great Falls or Helena, but it looked like incredible turnout with Texas Congressman and Navy Admiral Ronnie Jackson, who was rallying alongside Tim Sheehy over the weekend in Great Falls and in Helena. Just a surge of support. Tony also mentioned James Brown. James Brown is running for Montana State Auditor. I don't know if, you know, so many of these national races get a lot of the attention here. I don't know if you guys saw this story. The liberal Montana Free Press did a spotlight on the state auditor race, which is also known as the Commissioner of Securities and Insurance. And James Brown is the Republican who is his opponent is a Democrat by the name of John Repke. What I found very interesting is his opponent basically believes that the insurance industry all should be viewed through the lens of climate change. This guy wants to inject climate change into the decisions of the state auditor's office, into the decisions of securities and insurance. Basically, if you do that, you are basically driving up insurance rates even higher. But to me, what's really interesting about that is this shows how radical the Montana Democrat Party has become. They've got an insurance commissioner candidate that wants to view everything through the lens of climate change. They've got public service commission candidates that want to make every PSC decision based off of climate change, deliberately driving up energy costs, deliberately driving up insurance costs. That's how radical they have become. It's just crazy. They're not even trying to look moderate at this point. Next up on the phone lines, let's see, who do we got here? Tony, thanks for the call. We've got, Lee in Billings. Lee, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I'd like to bring up something that's not been reported on. I belong to the Montana Historical Society, and they have a campaign to raise funds for the new museum. And I get the letter, and it shows the donors, and in the $1 million to $5 million bracket, Tim and Carmen Sheehy have donated in that bracket. And it goes all the way down to $500. I don't see Tester anywhere. So who is the one that really values Montana?
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder, there's some great folks across the political spectrum that, of course, support the Montana Historical Society. But I wonder if that also was noticed by some of the more left-leaning members of the Montana Historical Society.
Yeah, I don't know, but I get their newsletter and stuff. Being that I'm a prospector member, I'm not as high up as the rest of these guys. But I get the newsletter, and I noticed Tim and Carmen Sheehy in there, and I thought I'd give them kudos.
Well, they've been awesome. Remarkably charitable to the whole state. You know, these ads that these sheriffs are calling false from Tester's campaign, where Tester is taking credit for funding for law enforcement that never even got there, that they've never seen. It reminds me of when Tester ran those ads in these weekly newspapers claiming that Tim Sheehy was going to shut down these hospitals. They've got an ad running where this some phony out of Willsal, he's probably some wealthy liberal, some phony out of Willsal is saying, Tim Sheehy doesn't understand rural health care. It's like, no, Tim Sheehy very much understands rural health care because he understood that he was closer to a level one trauma facility in Afghanistan than he was in Belgrade, Montana. So you know what Tim Sheehy did? He helped donate the funds to help build a level one trauma center in Montana. That's how much he understands health care in Montana. I mean, these people just throw out whatever they want to throw out. They just make up whatever they want to make up because they know that there's a sliver of people out there that are gullible enough to fall for it.
Yeah, that's definite. And even Billings Hospital, I believe, is the clinic.
Yeah, Billings Clinic.
Got a donation from them. But it's amazing to me that Tim and Carmen don't go out and wave these around either. They're humble people that really care. That's right. What I liked about him. And I voted already, so one's in the bank for him.
Me too. Apparently, I was just looking at the Secretary of State's office website numbers, and out of all of the absentee ballots that were already mailed out, looks like 48.39% have already been returned, so just about half have been returned. Two of the highest percentages when it comes to counties, by the way. Let's see, Golden Valley County has 60% of their ballots returned already, and then Ravalli County, coming in strong with about 56% of their ballots already returned. Lee, thanks for your phone call. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970 if you want to call in on the line that I just freed up. Let's see. Next up, we've got Lee in Kalispell. We've got Chris in Martinsdale and more callers. We'll try to get to every single one of you before we run out of time here on Monday's Montana Talks. 8 days to go until Election Day. Phone lines are open for you because this is the show where Montana gets to talk, the show where you get to talk. You hear enough of talking heads day in and day out everywhere else, right?
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We got some messages on the Montana Talks. I got to turn my right microphone on there. I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Here, Joe in Billings sent us this message. Good morning, Aaron. I know it's late in the process, but I have often wondered what happens if a judge receives more votes to remove the judge from office. Turns out if that happens, the governor gets to appoint a replacement. Joe is right. Joe adds this, vote every liberal judge out. That's what Joe has to say. Marcus in Nye says, she, he for Senate. That's from Marcus in Nye. What say you? 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. We've got Lee in Kalispell next up. What's going on, Lee?
Hi, Aaron. Yes, this is for Tony, who asked my question to him would be for Tester, where is home? But anyway, I was going to talk about a radio I came across yesterday where the guy was complaining that Trump is not a racist. And somehow that's a problem because when people talk about racism, he wouldn't know what they're talking about. I'm going, wait a God, really? You know, what do you want?
What was that, MSNBC or what was it? Or was it the Charlemagne show? Yeah, they want us to view everybody through a racial lens. They want us to judge everybody based off of the color of their skin and not the content of their character. It's just crazy, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Vivek Ramaswamy had a great speech, by the way, at the big Trump rally at Madison Square Gardens last night, where he talked about that very topic. I'll see if I can play a quick little portion for you. But we do have more callers on the phone lines. Lee, thanks for the call. Let's go next to, let's see, who do we got next? Oh, Chris in Martinsdale. Chris, what's going on?
Hey, I just want to thank you for all the information you put out. I learned so much. And I wanted to add my 2 cents to the Tester false ad stuff. And I'm getting so upset because I hear it over and over and over again on every station, this stuff about the abortion. She wanted to take away their abortion rights. What about the over-the-counter pills? They're still available. Anybody can choose anything. We just don't want to have to pay for it. So on that, plus I was, you know, really sad to hear about the $1.8 million that didn't go to law enforcement. So thank you for that. And that's appalling, absolutely appalling. And my last point is, climate has been changing since the earth was created. Just saying.
Yeah, you know, these abortion ads and CI-128 in particular, they're such false ads, such false claims. They want you to think that they want voters that might lean pro-choice to think that that if they don't vote for CI 128, that somehow abortion is going to be made illegal. And it's an outright lie. What CI 128 would do, it goes even further than Roe v. Wade. This is a radical abortion initiative. It is so insane what they are trying to do and what they are trying to enshrine in our Montana Constitution. But they've got millions of dollars in out-of-state funds to straight up lie to the people of Montana with this deceptively written ballot initiative. And there, even foreigners like Hans Wies. Yeah, that's right. The same Hans Wies that provided funding to the American Prairie Reserve to kick the ranchers off the land, that same Hans Wies is able to fund these ballot initiatives like CI 128. And they basically want to allow abortion on demand all the way up until the due date with this deceptively written ballot initiative. It's crazy. Chris, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let's see, who do we got next? I think, did we lose Alan in Ronan, or is Alan still on line three there? Well, let me just check and see. It might be new. Alan, are you there, or is this a newer caller? Okay, that might be a newer caller. All right, I'll throw you back on hold. Let's go to Susie in Whitefish. Susie, what's going on?
Hello, Aaron. The reason I'm calling is, number one, I watched that amazing rally from start to finish yesterday at Madison Square Garden. It was tremendous. 20,000 people to capacity, and that equal amount outside that couldn't get in. So I picked up, I get the daily interlake online, and they put Trump's Madison Square Garden event features crude and racist insults.
TV stations did the same thing. I saw the Montana Television Network that's become the liberal Q2 News. They did the same thing. It's like they must have just grabbed some Associated Press talking points and copied and pasted the same thing. Such trash.
It is such trash. And I canceled my online subscription. I just couldn't contribute to that. And then underneath, Harris rallies voters in Philadelphia. I mean, we have a fake newspaper. We have fake TV reporting, but we have a fake newspaper. Or he leans to the left. Anyway, this is why I'm calling about. I got fired up.
Well, there was a comedian who, like, what, hour one of a four-hour rally, like, made some jokes that some, you know, and some of the speakers disavowed the jokes. He's a comedian. He was telling jokes. I grew up watching Comic View on Black Entertainment Television. The jokes about different ethnic groups were the best jokes on Black Entertainment Television, but you can't tell those jokes anymore. It's just crazy, these pearl clutchers. Let's see. Tim in Great Falls, we got like 20 seconds. What do you want to share? Sorry for the short time.
It's Tim in Great Falls. It's that simple fact on Tim Sheehy, if you release those medical records, it'll tell the truth. Now,
well, I've got the Bronze Star for Valor and Purple Heart. I guess you don't want to read that, though, huh? You don't want to read the Bronze Star for Valor and the Purple Heart record, huh?